Nice. Okay, we can go ahead and take that picture off if you want to hurry up and get that picture gone. So, all right, that's a better picture because, man, you know, some days you just, maybe not the women, but the guys, you're just like, I don't feel like shaving for this next 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks. And you're like, well, what can I do with this? Well, I'll just cut off some of it. You know, and I know, Cameron, you're still working on cutting off some of it, but, you know, you'll get there someday, or maybe just a goatee or whatever that was. What was that? I always picture that as like a what's a dog? What's a bulldog type of thing? That's just what I think of in my head. So, anybody right there? No. Okay. Good. So I feel really short down here. I want to like stand up here so I can see you guys. Is that okay? Okay. Let's see if I can do that. And then if I just fall off, you know, who knows what happened. All right. So anyway, so as you can read, vitality of the Holy Spirit. Here's the deal. I don't even know if that word vitality is exactly the word I want to use, but the word vital. I looked it up in the dictionary, in the Webster Dictionary, and that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is the Holy Spirit in your life is vital. It's like vital, okay, for all. All right, the definition is necessary to the existence, continuance, well-being of life. Indispensable. Essential. Of critical importance. Are you getting what I'm putting down? Essential. Of critical importance. And so I'm hoping that you're convinced enough tonight to listen and to engage your heart, to engage your brain, and say, Spirit, what do you want to speak to me tonight? Okay, so would you join me in prayer before we get going? Thank you, God, that even just something as simple as a guitar and a box and a bass and just singing, Lord, we can feel your presence and we can know who you are a little bit more. God, I pray that your Spirit would reside in this room, turn over a new understanding in our hearts tonight. God, even for the most, just the oldest Christian to the newest Christian to the non-Christian, Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly tonight through me. We rely upon you. We need you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before I jump in, I was talking to April Mahaney. She's the Kaffa minister up in Toledo. And I'll tell you what, I love hearing testimonies because God is busy all over our state. It's really exciting. She called me and she just was rambling, just like telling how her students last Monday, so actually two Mondays ago, they were just worshiping and then God just showed up and all of a sudden they're like, we need to respond. And so all of them got down. I think there's about 25 in the group there. They've been growing continually. They've started there about 3-4 years ago. And they were all just on their knees, just weeping. And not because they're trying to cry, but because the presence of the Lord was so thick and so rich in that place that they were just undone. I don't know, have you ever felt undone by the Lord? So I'll get to my notes eventually. But so one time I was your age and I was at SALT and there were people doing that around me. They were crying and all that stuff. And I was sitting on my seat and I had the audacity to say, God, I'm too tough for that. Because I'm listening to some people laughing in the spirit, just joy of the Lord is on them. And I'm listening to people cry. And in my smallness and in my junk, I was just disdaining what they're doing. And I said, God, I'm too tough for that. No sooner had that thought come out of my mouth that God's presence washed me like take a Holy Spirit heaven-sized bucket of wash of Holy Spirit dump, and he just dumped it on me, and all of a sudden, I start bawling. I'm not talking like whimpering. I'm talking like gross snot. I mean, just like, it was just incredible. My stomach hurt from crying, my jaw, everything. I was weeping because I just felt his presence and his love just dumped on me. And so I'm crying. And then eventually I'm like, okay, now if I can't, you know, because I was hurting, because it was just too much for my body. And immediately, I don't know exactly what joke he told me, but he told me a joke, and he'll remind me in heaven. But immediately after I said, enough, then all of a sudden I just felt the joy of the Lord in laughter, and I start cracking up, and I'm thinking, I'm going crazy, you know, and people are probably looking at me, because God just invaded my space. And so I'm laughing. Eventually my stomach hurts some more, and my jaw was hurting from laughing. And I said, okay, enough. And it was like he was standing next to me at this moment. He said, you're not too tough. Like that. And I was like, dear God, you're awesome. I mean, he didn't floor me because I was already sitting, but he's at me. And so that's the understanding of the vitality of the Holy Spirit, where this whole Christian thing isn't just a head thing. If it's stuck in your head, then you're not getting it. You're missing the whole world of experience. If it's just up here, I'm going to guess your Christianity is pretty lousy. It's tiresome. It's difficult. It's boring. It's full of guilt, full of shame, full of all sorts of failure because you can't live it properly because it's not all the way from here into here and in a thumping here, in a heart beating here. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit, it's amazing. I was thinking about this. The Holy Spirit is the least understood aspect of God. Would you agree? We get a lot of teaching on the Father, a lot of teaching on Jesus. Praise the Lord for both. But it's weird because we have the most interaction with the Holy Spirit, then the Father and Jesus. Just let that sit there for a while. We interact with the Holy Spirit even before you were saved, even if you have yet to be saved, if you have yet to say, God, I want you in charge. We have more interaction with the Holy Spirit than with the Father and with Jesus. We experience Jesus through proxy. Through the Holy Spirit, we experience Jesus. We understand the Father's love, proxy, through the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. As Christ followers, we should long, continually desire, have a stance of learning more about Jesus. We should have this desire, this longing to experience Him more. And we should have this longing, the desire to demonstrate Him more to more people. All those things happen as the Spirit is in our lives, as the Holy Spirit is in our lives in a couple different ways. One, an illumination of the Spirit. I'm just going to give you a treatise on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to teach you a little bit about the Holy Spirit, who He is, and our need for Him, if you're going to just walk with me and track with me, okay? So we need an illumination of the Holy Spirit to teach us. John 16, 13, Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. We need that illumination, that understanding. We also need to be submitted to the Holy Spirit in whatever He's doing. As we do that, then we are going to grow in our understanding of who Jesus is. We'll understand what He's about. We'll grow in our experience with Him. As we're submitting to the Holy Spirit, it's much easier to walk in step with God than against God. Anybody try that in life? I have. It's exhausting. As you're walking against the flow of the Holy Spirit, as you're walking against His desire, His move, as we walk in submission, saying, yes, Lord, it's much easier to live, much more enjoyable, much more powerful. And lastly, as an empowerment from the Holy Spirit to live out a supernatural life. Have you noticed just the influx of supernatural movies, supernatural TV, superheroes? I'm a sucker for basically end of the world movies. I've seen pretty much every single one. We're still around, so they must always, you know, be successful. But then also superpowers. I mean, I love superpowers. And so I think I'm in the right boat, following the right God, a supernatural God. Because I'm like, He is a supernatural God, and X-Man ain't got nothing on God. That's the supernatural God. Everything else is like a form of it or an imitation. So if we're going to continually grow more and more and more, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can live a life of invitation to the people to be into the family of God. So the Holy Spirit, He's active across the world continually in these different areas. And I want to just break these down for you because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit here to do multiple things. First of all, John 16, 8 through 11, this is Jesus talking. He says, and when He comes, which is the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 9 says, concerning sin because they do not believe in Me. The thing is, lying won't send you to hell. Stealing won't send you to hell. All these things will not eternally separate you. The one thing is the sin of unbelief, not believing in Jesus as God, not believing in who He says He is. And then He demonstrated by striking out His arms, dying on the cross, and not staying dead. Anybody that comes back to life, and it's been proven multiple times with so many people, if He says, hey, I'm God, I'm good with that. I'm believing that. And He didn't just say, I'm God. He didn't just demonstrate it by coming up from the grave. He did so many miraculous signs proving who He was. And so the sin of unbelief is what He's talking about. And the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world, of sin. Convict the world concerning righteousness, he says, Jesus says, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. We don't have Jesus walking around on earth. Nobody's like doing a live feed, a Facebook live feed of Jesus. What is he going to do? What's he going to eat? Where is he going to go? Is he going to go to Starbucks after they made that statement? I don't know. Maybe he'd go to Caribbean Coffee. We don't see what Jesus is doing on this planet. But Jesus says, hey, it's good that I take off because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who can be everywhere, who can guide us concerning righteousness. So when you're running into difficulty, thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit to say, what do I do? What do I say? How do I respond to that? Whether it's in class or someone just right at you, just blasting you, say, how do I respond to this? Holy Spirit, help me to respond as you desire me to. Concerning not just righteousness, but then he says, concerning judgment. Jesus is explaining this. He says, because the ruler of this world is judged. The deal is, the devil is condemned already. He knows it even. He may not get it, but he knows it. The devil stands condemned, but all those who follow after his rebellion, they also will stand condemned. They will also be judged according to their actions because sin has consequences. And that's a good thing. It surprises me in this world how much we don't accept consequences when it's over, when it involves ourselves. But if someone else does something wrong, hey, they should get something. Something should happen to them. But then when we do something wrong, we try everything we can to get away from the consequences. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit is everywhere and he sees everything. And he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, not so that he can just thumb us down and say, ha ha, I'm God and I hate you. That's not it at all. We're missing the whole boat if we're thinking that way. He's doing all of this to draw people to the Savior, to draw them to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, first of all, was sent by Jesus to, one, convict the world. So basically, even before anybody knows who Jesus is, if they have not recognized he is God, if they have not said, I need you, if they have not repented of their sin and follow after him, they still can feel the Holy Spirit. That's a good God. Thankfully, there's not like an in crowd where it's like, I don't feel the Holy Spirit unless I'm in the in crowd. In fact, we don't get in the in crowd without the Holy Spirit. So everybody across the world feels the Holy Spirit. The next element, though, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. So once you've said, Jesus, I need you. I repent of my sin in multiple different ways. I need you. Ephesians, it encourages us, it tells us, once we've made Jesus our Savior and Lord, Ephesians 1 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. You were marked in Jesus with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit assures us and then reassures us when we have doubt, when we have trouble, when we have difficulty, that you are a child of God. I want to give a side note here. As much as we want to think this, everybody is not a child of God. Everybody is a creation of God, which then gives them incalculable worth. They have intrinsic value, so much value that Jesus said, I am going to take care and help them to spend eternity with me. I'm going to go and take on human flesh and die on a cross because of my love, because of their value. All people are God's creations. All people have value, just value outside of our brains that we can't even understand. But a child of God is one that has been adopted into the family, is one that said, Jesus, I want to be in your family. He's made provision for that. The Holy Spirit was sent as a guarantee, as like a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance is what the Bible tells us. And lastly, Jesus sent him, and this is what I want to talk about for the rest of tonight, to empower us. So if you've made him Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is here to empower you to be his witnesses, to those around, to those that haven't surrendered to his lordship. And that's a good thing. His lordship is what we want. To empower you to live a supernatural life, to empower you to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, confirming the truth that Jesus is God, that Jesus is who he says he is. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, when I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, me too, but with a demonstration, and this is my prayer, with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. The Holy Spirit was sent and is expected to be inside of you, residing in you, pulsing in you, flowing out of you, not just for you. The for you part is like ancillary, is like extra. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower you to speak about Him, to empower you to share the gospel, to empower you to live supernatural lives. Did you see the progression there of what happened of the first, second, third? Where first it's the world, it's external. And then a sealed deposit guaranteeing your inheritance, that's internal. But then an empowerment is more than just internal, it's all-encompassing. Do you see that? It's like when anyone go to Mad River Mountain for tubing? Do you guys go this year? Or you go any time when you're outside and you're cold? I got three kids and they spend so much time outside. I love it. And so they come inside from the cold winter or whatever, which wasn't really this winter, so last winter. And we want to give them hot cocoa. So they come in and the hot cocoa is nice and warm. And you can feel the hot cocoa on your hands. And you can feel it like you blow on it. And you can feel it on your face. And you can feel it on your lips. It's still hot outside, but has it made you warm yet? No, you're still cold. Right? That's the lame but somewhat okay example of when the Holy Spirit's doing something to in the world where they don't have Him yet. They don't understand who Jesus is yet. They still can feel the heat, but they haven't consumed. They haven't allowed it to come into their bodies. And so then you drink the cocoa, or some of you guys, coffee, whatever. And so you drink the cocoa, and I love it when you can like feel it go down inside your throat. And is this the esophagus? Is that what this is called? Okay. The thing that takes the water and the drink. Okay, whatever that is. And then you can feel it all the way down. It's like, I love that part. Anybody? I don't know. It's just one little joy of life. You feel that, but are you warm yet? No. You're still not warm until you continually consume this, and eventually your whole body gets warm because it's taken over by the heat of the cocoa. I have a poem. I have a friend named Jeff. You might have a picture of him. I thought of a poem, and it's really a haiku, but really not. But so Jeff is cold in a meeting. Jeff drinks coffee. Jeff drinks lots of coffee. Jeff's insides heat up so much that he gets burning hot. Jeff thinks the whole room now is hot. Jeff gets up and turns the room air conditioner on. That's my poem. So, isn't poetry like I can do whatever I want, right? Adam, can't I just do whatever I want? I mean, there was like five haikus in there, right? At least five high fives? Okay. Five high fives. It's ridiculous, though. The room hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. Jeff was cold in the meeting, in the room. He consumes a ton of coffee. He's my friend. And then all of a sudden, he's burning up. And he's like, gosh, it's so hot in here. And he gets up and turns the AC down. It's like, for those of us that aren't drinking coffee, we're cold, now we're colder. Well, that's just a lame example, but somewhat of an example of as the Holy Spirit is allowed to continue to be put inside of you, as you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden things change. Now what was cold is now warm, and you can handle things. You can handle attacks of the devil. You can handle attacks from external. You can handle attacks from you can handle things that are going around you because you've been consuming and you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Will you remember my Jeff reminder? Will you remember my Jeff poem or short story? Is that what it was? Whatever I want to be. Hey, I got the mic, so. But here's the deal. As a follower of Jesus, it's imperative, it's essential, it's vital for us to grow in connection with the Holy Spirit and affection to the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought of that? Christians a lot of times say, I love you, Jesus. And they say, I love you, Father. But did you know the Holy Spirit loves you? The Holy Spirit's not a force. The Holy Spirit's not an it. He is a third of infinity. Any math majors? How much is a third of infinity? Infinity. Thank you, one math major. Who said that? All right. The Holy Spirit is infinite, and He loves you. So to grow in connection to the Holy Spirit and affection with the Holy Spirit, I want to give you a couple ways. First way, simple obedience. Get used to saying yes to the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which shows us He has feelings, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. There that is again. You're sealed for the day of redemption. Quickly say yes to His direction. Second thing is be baptized in the Holy Spirit and be continually filled by the Holy Spirit. And those are two elements of that. First of all, when John 3:16, you guys know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him won't perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 is for the unbeliever. Luke 3:16 is for the believer. Luke 3:16 says, John answered them, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come. He's talking about Jesus. The straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with or in the Holy Spirit and fire. That's John the Baptist saying, Jesus is coming, and Jesus is the baptizer. He baptizes you with or in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the dispenser of the Holy Spirit, and then to be continually filled. We're encouraged by Paul in Ephesians 5:18. Says, I'm going to read the Amplified version. I like it. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity. I love it. That's that word there. That's what that's meaning. It's stupid. But be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. We grow in our connection to the Holy Spirit and our affection to the Holy Spirit by being baptized in the Spirit and being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Then lastly, to do what He wants to do. What does the Holy Spirit want to do? He wants to make Jesus known. Throughout the years, I've been doing campus ministry for a long time, apparently. My wife and I started the group here in 2000-ish, 2000, 2001, somewhere around there. I start to forget. Anyway, so whenever I talk to students about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just the understanding of being filled with the Holy Spirit, they usually say that they already have the Holy Spirit. And I would agree. They have the deposit, just like we've read a couple times. If you've made Jesus your Lord, if you've made Him your Savior, I would never want to go against the Scripture. The Scripture multiple times, we've already read twice, saying that you have the Holy Spirit, a deposit, a seal, guaranteeing your inheritance. But I want to look at what happened with the disciples. Here we are, we're going to catch up in John 20. Jesus just was raised from the dead, so He's fresh out of the tomb. I like you already. Because it wasn't even a joke, but it was good. John 20, we catch up, and He's with the disciples. 21 and 22 says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. That's a recurring theme. Just so you know, when you read about the Holy Spirit, you'll see that theme. It's not just so that we feel good inside. It's not so that we have warm fuzzies. There's a purpose of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's John 20. Okay, then just a couple more days later, now we're in Acts chapter 1. Then later He said, hey, don't go anywhere and don't do anything until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we're going to read Acts 1. Acts 1, 4, 5, 8 says, on one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised. I want anything God has for me. Do you guys? Would you agree? Anything. Anybody? A wife? Anything? Husband? No?
Amen.
They're good things. They're good things. Well, you know, wife for the man, a husband. Okay, so. But wait for the gift My Father promised. He's got a better gift than that, which you've heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water. Sound familiar? We just read about it. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Basically, what He's doing is a bullseye. He's just going out from there. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Did you notice something that the disciples didn't do? They didn't debate with Jesus whether they have the Holy Spirit or not already. They say, Jesus, a couple chapters back, you breathed on us, Holy Spirit. We got him. We're good. Did you notice that? They didn't remind him that they were already good. Here's a tip. Don't argue theology with God. Our understanding isn't the same as his. If he says it, I'm believing it. If he says to be baptized in the Spirit, I'm saying yes, yes, yes. Even if I don't understand it, even if I don't get it, even if I can't comprehend it, I understand his character, I understand his heart for me. James tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Here's the thing, for those of you that have committed to Jesus and have said, please be my Savior and be my Lord, did you get that too? That's beyond our understanding. Did you have it fully nailed down and you got everything figured out before you said, okay, I'll finally surrender my life to you? No. You just realized, he's amazing, I'm not, I'm dead in my sin, I need him. And he wants me. Salvation and being filled with, being baptized in the Spirit are very similar. They both require humility. They both require hunger. I want you. And they both require repentance, like openness, a cleanliness. It's very interesting. They don't require complete understanding. Do you stay in that understanding, in that lack of understanding? No, you grow in it. Hopefully you've been growing in your faith. The same thing with the Holy Spirit baptism. His word trumps our previous experiences. His word trumps our upbringing. His word should trump everything. Because remember, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Okay, this isn't pre-resurrection Jesus even. This is glorified body Jesus. For those of you that read any scripture, any Bible, this isn't like beat up, still got like blood trickling down because he had the thorns shoved on his head. This isn't just filet mignon back where just the whips were ripping out flesh. This isn't him. This isn't weak, frail Jesus. This is glorified ascension. My goodness, he's brighter than the sun, Jesus. He's telling his disciples who have walked with him for 3 years. They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him heal blind eyes and deaf ears, open deaf ears. They've seen him raise people from the dead. If anybody could have said, we got this, it's the disciples. Remember, he's talking to the disciples and he's saying, basically, you don't have enough. Who are we to think we got enough? I've never seen Jesus. Anybody ever seen Jesus with their eyes? I've felt him. I've felt his presence, but I've never seen him, let alone watch him walk on water and raise people from the dead and then appear to me, eat with me, let me touch, let me see that he's there in a glorified body, and then say, hey, don't do anything. I know that you're like super excited that I'm alive again and you want to go tell everybody. I get that, but don't go yet. You need more. Can I tell you? You need more. We all need more. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then it's not just a, that's it, we're done, we're good, we got the Holy Spirit checkbox, we're done, but then to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I do want to remind you that being baptized in the Spirit isn't just another medal that you can put in your Christian trophy, right? You can't just, your trophy case. It's, if this were, how do I say this? Being baptized in the Spirit is so that you can be just like the original disciples, you know, the ones that changed the world, that we actually have a lineage to. We can't trace it, but we know that we follow after Jesus because the disciples did, and they shared, and they shared, and they shared, and they shared. And lo and behold, here we are in 2017, and I understand who Jesus is. They did that through the power of the Holy Spirit. That same power is bestowed upon us, is available to us as we'll continually be filled with the Spirit to live a life of victory, to live a life of freedom, to live a life over sin, conquering it, winning, not failing. It's so short-sighted, or I maybe even should say blind-sighted, just completely like blind to think that Christianity is just about me. But think for a second, how many in the world that are Christians basically have just relegated it to me, just to themselves? And we even have that trite saying that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Right? You've heard that saying, right? It's empty and self-serving if it's just me, myself, and I. If it's just this way, that's so empty. This is an immature response to the gospel, and one that we need to grow up and grow in maturity in Him. Last thing I want to tell you, and then we're going to close. So Carson Wentz, you guys know who Carson Wentz is? That's Carson Wentz. He was drafted second in the NFL this last year as quarterback. And so he was the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. He was involved with Chi Alpha at North Dakota State University. So he was hardcore involved. He was a leader and all that stuff. And his mentor, Stephen Glasser, he does Chi Alpha. He was just telling the story about Carson. I just want to read it to you. I read this yesterday. He said, over those 2 years, which meant the time that they were meeting together, Carson's faith continued to grow. During his senior season, he started to help lead the football team's Bible study. He invited teammates and friends with him to Chi Alpha and a church. He became more bold and courageous with his faith. One day, he texted me asking if we could meet. When I arrived at the student union, he was more excited than usual. He began to share with me that a former teammate hit rock bottom and called him the night before. His teammate told him he remembered Carson telling him about Jesus, and he wanted to talk more about Carson's faith. That night, Carson led his teammate to the Lord on the couch in his basement. What struck me there was not only the salvation, but the excitement in Carson. Because he, if you're just living a Christian life for me, myself, and I, and it's just so that I don't sin, then that is so short, that's so small. The joy and the excitement comes when you see someone else get it. And that happens more and more frequently as you are committed to being filled, continually filled, overflowing, hot for the Lord. Am I getting my point across here? I'm almost done. I see some of you guys are like drooping. So if you're droopy, then wake up. But here's the deal. Being baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues was a normative experience, a typical experience for the disciples and for the early church. It's all through the Bible, the New Testament, and even in extra-biblical literature. In other words, early church history. It's continually out there saying that this is what happened. This is what happened. We see it with Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, the house of Cornelius, the 12 men that were saved in Acts 19. We see it over and over and over again. This push of salvation first, absolutely. But then there's more to it. You would agree with me that the disciples were saved, wouldn't you? They were even breathed on by Jesus, saying, receive the Spirit. And yet he said, don't go anywhere, don't do anything until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And because of that, you'll be empowered to be my witnesses. That's the highway. If you're just doing Christianity for yourself, you're in a cul-de-sac. You're stuck. You're in a dead end. And no wonder you have a struggle, because all you're doing is going around in a circle. You're bored. There's a reason. Because He has empowered you to actually go somewhere, not just try to fight the same sin 5 and 6 times a week. He wants you to go somewhere, do something. And along the way, you'll be like, oh, wow, I haven't fussed with that in a long time. I haven't thought I hate myself in a long time because I'm about the King's business, because I'm about the Holy Spirit moving. That's where this thing gets fun. If you're thinking, is this for me? I'd respond with Apostle Peter, and then I'm going to give you 3 chances, 3 things. Peter replied to them. This is right after the apostles got filled with the Spirit. They go out, they're speaking in tongues, and then people from all these different places are like, well, I hear it in my language. Whoa. Which, by the way, that happens often. People pray in tongues, and someone that doesn't speak the language that they're praying out in, but someone over there does, they're like, they're speaking my language. I have story after story. You guys have a story of your dad. I mean, it happens. So these guys are out there, just got filled with the Spirit, they're praying in tongues, they're speaking in tongues, and people are from all these different places like, I hear that in my native tongue. Well, they might have said, yubba-labba-jubba-dabba. You know, that might have been what they said. That was Phoenician. Just joking. So anyway, Peter, they were all confused, though. They're like, how in the world am I hearing my native tongue out of these Jews? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. That's your first requirement. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what you want, you must repent. That means that you humble yourself and you say, I in my own self am never and will never be able to be measured up to the righteousness of God. The Bible tells us that our best deeds are like God's are like filthy rags. And those filthy rags are menstruation rags. It's like the best you can do is nothing compared to God's righteousness. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. That's my prayer, is that everyone in here would have a relationship with Jesus, and it will affect your lineage from you all the way down. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So here's three responses that I want to challenge you with. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me? You've been sitting a while. Three responses. I'm going to back up just so you can see me better. So first response, first thing, and I mentioned it earlier, I would challenge you for the first part of what Peter said. If you have yet to repent and be baptized, like Peter says, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's vital. And I'm believing that the Holy Spirit is already working on hearts here because, like we talked about earlier, he touches everybody. Whether you've committed him as if you've made Jesus your Lord or not, he still can touch your heart. The thing is, many, many, many of us in here have felt that. We felt the touch of the Holy Spirit. We felt both the conviction of our sin, but also the freedom waiting in Jesus. Many, many, many of us in here have at one point or another raised our hand or come down front and said, I need Jesus as my God. I need Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. And those are two different things that's a talk for later. Many of us have come forward or have raised our hand and said, I need that. And so that's the first response. And your life will radically change. You could hear so many testimonies in here of people's lives radically changed, turned on a dime because they've made Jesus their Lord and Savior. Many of us in here have already made Jesus our Lord, our Savior. We're like, yes, I got that. I got the seal. I got the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing my inheritance. Praise the Lord. I continue with Peter, and he says, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises for you. Luke 11:13 says that you knowing how to give good gifts, even though you're evil, don't you think the Father knows how to give that much more of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The Father is saying, I want to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. That's Luke 11:13. So I would say, if you have yet to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, as we've seen, it is a normative process for the disciples in the early church, where they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're speaking in other tongues, and it doesn't stop there. They're empowered to be witnesses. Maybe in here, some of you guys are Christians, you've been Christians for a long time, yet you have never even led one person to Jesus. I would challenge you, might even step on your toes, are you even filled with the Spirit? Don't get prideful. Don't jump to your defense. Instead, stay chilled and say, okay, well, gosh, I know I'm supposed to go and make disciples of all nations. Didn't Jesus tell us that? And yet, here am I have yet to go and make a disciple of Jesus. I've yet to have that experience. I would challenge you, the Holy Spirit's about that. And so instead of defending yourself and saying, no, I'm a really good Christian, I can quote a ton of scripture. The disciples couldn't quote any scripture, and they were saving number upon number. 5,000 were added that day by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you have yet to feel and experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a singular event, just like water baptism is, you go down and then you come back up. You don't stay down, right? So baptism of the Holy Spirit is a one-time event. Being filled is a continually filled, where you're continually filled with the Holy Spirit, like you're continually dunked. So if you have yet to be baptized in the Spirit, and we've seen it through the disciples and all that stuff, speaking in tongues, then I'm going to ask you as well to come down. So first, if you haven't said, Jesus, I need you. We're going to invite Hannah eventually to come down, and she's going to play something. She's going to have to sing, or whoever does it. Or Jay's going to do it with the... There it is right there. That's mood music. No, actually, it's just cover so we can pray with each other. But if you haven't done the first thing, tonight's your night. If you have yet to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, tonight's your night. Third thing, if you've been baptized, and yet you know in your heart, I'm dry as a bone. Yeah, I was dunked a long time ago. I still can speak in tongues, but I'm dry as a bone. I can feel it. Then why stay there? Why not pray? We'll join whoever's going to come up. I think staff's going to come up, and we're going to pray. And let's say, Holy Spirit, fill me. It just requires humility, a hunger, and an openness. That's my challenges to you guys. Because as we do that, my hope and prayer, and I hope that you even commit this to prayer and intent and anticipation that it will happen, I'm hoping that every single one of you that has Jesus as your God, that has set him inside of your heart, made him as king, my prayer is that every single one of you this year, 2017, would lead one person to Christ. And just like Carson Wentz was just all lit up, that was his first time. You know he's leading the people on the Philadelphia Eagles to Christ on a regular basis. Many, many people have come to Christ on the Eagles because of him. It started at college because he stepped out and he prayed with the guy in his basement on the couch, empowered by the Spirit. That's my hope and prayer, is that this year, every single one of you, I want to challenge you, this year you would look for doors, that you would look for opportunities by the Holy Spirit to make a disciple, teaching them all that Jesus has said. This year, we'll celebrate. Think of that. It happens as you're committed to it, as you're praying, and as you're being filled with the Spirit. Makes sense? So here's what I'm going to do. All three of those, what I want you to do is just come down here. I won't know if you're one, two, or three. Doesn't matter. But I want to pray for you. I want Andy. I want Heather. I want Jay. I want Nicole. Kristen. That we want to pray with you. You can tell us when you're up here what it is, whether it's you want to give your life to Jesus, or it's I need to be baptized in the Spirit. I'm still not quite sure what it is, but I trust God's character and I trust His Word. You don't have to trust me, but trusting God and His Word, that's the essential. And then the third thing is, if you have been baptized, you speak in tongues, but you're like, man, my life is not reflecting it. I'm not living it. I put on a good show, but inside I'm dry. Then let's be done with that as well, okay? All right? If you're not doing any of those three, then I'm cool with you guys just chilling. Don't be super loud because we're going to be praying up here. And then I think we're going to go to the bridge afterwards. All right? Let me pray a blessing and then you guys can come down. God, I pray that all the stuff that your word said and I talked about, Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just go in one ear and out the other. I pray, Lord God, that it would take a detour, go down into the heart. And that every single person in here would be touched by your Spirit in the exact place that they're supposed to be touched, in the exact place that they need to be touched. God, I pray that they wouldn't do any deflecting of you. I pray that they wouldn't do any dodging. And I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't defend against you. But Lord, help them to be open to you and saying, whatever you want to do, God, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to listen. And I thank you, God, that you are a vocal God, that you're an active God, and that you're a powerful God. God, I pray that this week you would move in every single student's lives undeniably. In other words, they can't deny it, that you just did something in their lives. And Lord, I pray that it doesn't stop there in the cul-de-sac, but Lord, that you would empower them to be your witness in Millett Hall, in MedSci, in Ullman, in Fawcett, in Hamilton, in the woods, at UD, at Sinclair. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we worship you. Amen.